Blog Talk Radio.
Edition where we have a half hour interview with Mrs. Reverend Harriet G. Walden. She should be calling in just momentarily. So in the meantime, I'd like to let you know Ms. Walden will be, Reverend Walden will be on every Thursday at 5 p.m. on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The chat room is open. The phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. So in the meantime, while I'm waiting for her to call in, and Halloween is tomorrow, I'd just like to mention a few things. I live in Washington State, and it is raining like cats and dogs today, and it's supposed to be raining tomorrow as well on Halloween, so I kind of feel for the kiddies. But anyway, I just wanted to say to please be very careful, have your umbrellas, and have the kids where they can see where they're going. They may have to push their face mask up on their head or something, so as you're traveling from house to house. But I want to also say, I hope this is going on across the nation. Most of the malls, the big malls, here we have a Super Mall, we've got South Center Mall, we've got Alderwood Mall. And the retail stores have a representative each store where you can take the kids in there. You know, if you're not comfortable with taking your children to someone's house. I mean, I know some parents will take the kids to grandma's or aunts and uncles, you know, that they feel safe and secure getting candy from. But maybe some of the other people in that neighborhood, those aspects, are not comfortable. Well, the malls, like I said, are open, and they have a representative at each door of the mall, and they give the kids candy. And so they can still be in their costumes, and the parents just take them from store to store. And let me tell you, at the malls, they give out good stuff, good candy, not the little cheapy penny candy. They get, you know, like if it's Nordstrom's or Sears or Penny's, what have you. Yeah, they give real good candy. But it's a safe and secure area for the children. Also, your community centers, think about those, because a lot of community centers in your neighborhood or, you know, within the suburbs, your town, they also have things for children that is a safe environment. So that's another one. Also, now, the churches do not celebrate Halloween. They call it All Saints Day, where that the children will come to the church in different characters from the Bible. And that seems to be good. They still have their... the kids still have their candy and stuff, but they do it more on a religious factor. So that's just something to think about while you're out tomorrow on Halloween taking your children around. Now, without further ado, I'm going to bring in Reverend Harriet G. Walden to speak to us about purpose and why we are here. Welcome, Mrs. Reverend Harriet Walden.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow, purpose. So excited.
Okay, well, come on with it. We are anxious to hear
Hey, what is purpose? You know what I mean? When you look around and you see all the events that have happened in Washington State in the last, you know, week almost since last Friday, and so many young people are no longer here by, you know, ways of the guns and stuff. And then it's just so much of this going on. And if we knew at an early age that we were divine beings having a human experience and that we were here for an absolute purpose, that we're no accidents, there's no mistakes, and we came here to be the greatest example of the Most High that we can be. And sometimes we have to climb a lot of mountains to get there. It's not an easy job. But just to know that you have purpose, to know that your life means something, you know. And I just think that if we can just let the young people know that, beginning at an early age, you're no accident. You're here because God ordained your presence. And your presence means that there's a gift that you're bringing. And your gifts are welcome in the world. We need your gifts. You know, I mean, the young people need to know we need your gifts. We're so waiting on you. We have been waiting eons for you to show up. And now that you're here, we so want you. And if we could get that message across, oh, it wouldn't be as many young people incarcerated or as the event that happened up at Marysville last week. Because at 14 years old, you have a whole life of promise, a whole life of purpose. And you might be going through a little something. Hey, we go through something at 35, 24, 55, 65, but we still hang on to the notion and the knowing that we're no mistakes, that our presence has been ordained by the Creator, and we are so here to be that gift that God has gave us to be.
Well, Ms. Harriet, I want to ask you now about purpose, and especially for the young people, because, you know, I think it was three incidents here and a couple, I think, on the East Coast. Of course, the one in Marysville was the worst one. They also had, I think, Tacoma and somewhere else. How do you explain purpose to young people? And I would say, once a teen gets 13 up.
How do we explain purpose to young people?
Yeah, so that they understand it and they don't feel like, you know, they're less than, but they're more of who they are.
Well, you know, one of the ways that I explain it to my children is that, I used to play games with my children all the time. When they would come home from school, they'd say, oh, was anybody calling me? And I always say, yeah, the president of Egypt or some other place called because they want to know when are you coming to help solve the problem of the water. When are you coming to do this or the people, you know. So I always wanted them to know that there was a bigger world than this, and that bigger world was waiting for them. There's a bigger world in Seattle. There's a bigger world in Marysville. And you get to play on a big stage of life when you understand that there's something bigger than what you're experiencing right now. And they used to say, oh, Mama, just tell me who called for real. I said, oh, no, that's who called for real. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you to come to be able to solve the problem. And I think that we have to plant those seeds it behooves us to have friends who help water those seeds. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to have other adults saying, "Oh, I see your purpose. Oh, I know that you're going to you're going to finish high school." Number one, we need to, the purpose that one of the things that we have to hurry up and create to our little boys by the time they're in first grade is that you will never be a criminal. You will not break the law. You are not going to jail. I don't care what they say, you are a shining star, you are a scholar. You're not going to be any of these statistics, but you will graduate from high school. I told my children, you will go to college. It's not debatable. We don't know. God takes care of details, but we just have to step out. You know, we have to step out, and we have to just let them know that there's a big world for them, and it might not be in Seattle. And, yeah, it's all that negativity out there. Who cares about that? It's all kind of negative stuff. But we as parents and adults have to be the shining stars. we have to be the one that encourage them to know that, wow. And then when I first started Mothers, one of the things I would tell the young people was that, you might be the one to find a cure for AIDS. You know, I mean, you might be the one who comes through with new information. You know, some of this new technology, all the technology has not been developed. I mean, it's young people still developing apps right now. So, again, if we could just latch on to that to teach our young people to develop themselves, to use all their functions of their mind and the body, to use all of their gifts. And that's hard to do in a world with peer pressure because, you know, I mean, you got all this stuff called bullying and all this other stuff. But we have to give them so much love and fortification before they leave the house that they're already on the path of knowing who they are. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not trying to act like that this is easy as going through a drive-thru. It's not. It's a lot of work.
Well, yes, because with purpose, parents must feel like they have purpose, too, and that they matter so that they change that, not change it, but transfer that to the children and let them know you matter,
right.
No matter what. You
right.
Do matter. And like
you matter. That's right. And some of the children, bless their hearts, they have been born into families where that's hard for them. It's hard for the families. It's a lot of pressure on families today. And I think it's always been a lot of pressure on families. I mean, you know, a long time ago, and I think you might be from a large family too, but people had large families. So it was a lot of pressure on trying to figure out how much, you know, food and clothes. I think. And one of the things I was determined to do is that I didn't do hand-me-downs from the bottom, from the top down, because that meant that the baby never got new clothes. So I had this thing in my mind that I'd buy it for the youngest first. I mean, just so the baby would get new clothes, because with a large family, a lot of times it gets down to junior to the fifth or sixth or seventh child still wearing those clothes. So I'm just trying to say it's always been pressures on families. I mean, but now I think it's come more in your home because you have 24/7 television, and before you didn't have that, so you were isolated a little bit from all of the world situations, and then you had your neighbors to help out. And all of those things that we don't have in an urban setting. It's too much as people are coming to stick together as they do in some of the small places. But life is never easy. But it's easy when you realize that you're not alone, that you have ancestors, you have angels, you have a higher power living within you. There is a power in us that's so great that really can help us climb the mountain. I mean, it moves the mountain out of our way. And when we can connect with that, the early age with the children and the young people, and then help parents reconnect with the fact that no matter what they're going through, they're not alone. They're absolutely not alone. See?
This is as important as a child that they're training and nurturing. So,
right.
Yeah. And I know it's hard for parents. I mean, come on, since 2008, there's been such a change financially for most families where they either have lost their homes or the family has been split up. And most of that is due to finances, I do believe. But still, it's a fractured commentary, you know.
Well, you're right about that. And but again, every decade or every generation has had to face something. I mean, my generation, we faced the Bay of Pigs. You know, I mean, I grew up in Florida, and we thought we weren't going to graduate because we thought Cuba and America was going to be at war in 1962, 63. We were, you know, doing the Bay of Pigs. We were crying, oh, I'm a senior, we're not going to graduate, you know, and then there was the Vietnam War. So I think every decade and every generation has had to face something. But it is the resilience. It's the steadfastness. It is the tools that we've been taught by our ancestors and our families on how to make it through a hard event. There are many hard events in life, and sometimes they just knock you on your floor, and it takes your breath away, and it takes all that you have within you to hold on. Because the idea is to hold on. Because if the little 14-year-old boy could have just held on one more day, you know, the change always comes. you know, Sam Cooke was right. You know, I mean, the change always comes. But the, but how do you hold on? And those are the resilient skills that we're not teaching, that you must hold on. It will be an event. You'll do everything right, and the storm will come and kick over your table, and all your lemonade is on the ground, and you don't know what to do. That's an event, and we will all have events. But it is what we, it is what the fiber of what we're made out of, and what we anchor to. And for me, it's, you know, I believe in a higher power. And that's what anchors me. And it anchors me because when I go through the vicissitudes of time, you know, losing my business, you know, being interviewed on channel, you know, had all this stuff out there about me, about around my business and all of that kinds of stuff. But what gives me the grace to go on is the belief that there is a power greater than myself, and it, and I have access to it because it's an inward power. I don't have to go to church for it. I don't have to. I don't have to pick up the Bible for it, but I do. But I, you know, I don't have to read it in this, all the sacred texts because it's already in me. It was put in me before I was born, before I was in my mother's womb, and so that anchors me, and it helps me stay grounded and to be to talk about purpose. You know, because we all have events. I mean, every day. And some events is very severe. I mean, for the people in Marysville, this is a big event, and it's very severe. And it's not going to go away tomorrow. It's not. But no. But what's going to get them through is their culture. Their culture and their belief system is what's going to get them through this event.
You know, they have to sit on school for that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I was saying they have the funeral today for that young man.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I bet it was a large turnout of Native people, too, from around, from probably around the state, you know, because he was connected to a tribal family. You know.
He was.
Yeah.
He was such an outstanding student, friend. I mean, something snapped somewhere.
Well, and I think, too, what we have not done a good job on, and not only in purpose, teaching children and teaching, you know, and teaching and understanding purpose and understanding rejection. I mean, because somewhere down the line they say it was a rejection. I don't know all the details. We probably won't ever know. But young men don't always take rejection very well. I mean, my grandmother used to say the puppy dog love today is not the puppy dog love tomorrow. I mean, and a lot of adults realize that. But, you know, somewhere we have to teach boys that a rejection doesn't mean that life is over for you. If the girl chooses to be with somebody else, she's a free agent. Absolutely a free agent. And and how do you deal with rejection when you actually thought that that was the one? Well, at 14... your life is just beginning. So the one person can never really be the one forever, you know. But my heart goes out to the family. I absolutely am sorry. And then it was an event around here in Seattle two nights ago also with father. I killed his daughter and his and the granddaughter. And so that family is hurting. It's a lot of families that's hurting right now. And these are large events. I'm not trying to minimize them. I mean, these are large-scale events. So like you were talking about losing your job, your home, and all your livelihood and all that. These are large-scale events. And it's going to take all that you have to get through these events with the support of your family and your friends and your higher power, you know, and God. That's what it's going to take. You can't get through these events by yourself.
No, you definitely don't have support. Well, do you think that today, purpose is very important, but today we live in such a fast food society. Do you feel like purpose is kind of going by the wayside, that they're not understanding that because they want everything right now?
Well, that's part of that throwaway society and wanting it right now. But again, it doesn't work. Life doesn't work that way. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And it is a fast-paced society, but you have to choose to come off the treadmill. And I think that's maybe harder for young people because they're so much engaged in so many activities. And I think a lot of young people are overscheduled, so they don't get any quiet, reflective time. They don't get any time to just understand the silence. The silence is so important because it gives you opportunity to hear the voice of intuition. So important. Because that voice of intuition is the voice, for me, the voice of the Most High. And the silence gives you a chance to cultivate that. And it gives you time to just get all this other stuff out the way so that you can just settle down. And some people do that by walking nature. Some people do that just by going on the beach and just having a reflective time. And I think that, you know, young people have to have a reflective time. I used to tell my kids they couldn't go to bed with the radio on at night. I mean, because you hear all this, you sleep, and then all this other noise that's going through your subconscious mind. At some point, you know, you got to cut off this stuff. And now with 24/7 television and all the texting and the paging and the Twitter and the Facebook, it's harder. It's harder. But this is where adults have to have some discipline also. Know when to say no. You know, no is not a bad word. Actually, you know, no can save your life. It absolutely sometimes is the best thing parents can say is no. No. And it's not easy. I'm not saying any of this walk is an easy walk. I'm just saying that it's a discipline that we should look at. And once children know that they have purpose, and they're being supported by their family, and the family understands that. I mean, look at Venus and Serenus. I mean, early on, their father or all of them in consultation came to the conclusion that tennis was what they wanted, and they put all of their time and energy into developing that. I mean, into developing that skill, and what that's what life is. We have to develop our skills and our talents and what we came here to do. And we all get off track. I'm not, like I say it's not easy. We get distracted, you know. I mean, and now texting is everywhere. That's a great distraction, you know. So it's not easy. But I just believe that if we could have purpose of uplifting and constructive thoughts all day long and helping people to understand that the more positive you are, the more positive energy and positive people that you draw to yourself. You know, the positive, being positive every day and creating this energy, a vibration around you about, with being positive, it attracts to you positive people. I mean, it changes the environment. It changes the very energy in the room to where you are. And I've just tried it so many times. I mean, I have so many demonstrations where I was, you know, when you walk in a room and, you know, people are frowning. If you go in and say, hi, how are you, and extend yourself. Sometimes you have to extend yourself to be friendly, you know. Sometimes you have to be the one to say, how are you? Sometimes you have to be the one to repair the relationship. You know, how can we repair this relationship? How can we begin again? But, again, understanding who you are and teaching that as an early age and staying on task with that, you know. I mean, and that's one of the things that I just fundamentally believe in. I believe the scripture says if you teach a child the way to go, you know, you might go away from it, but eventually you come back. And a lot of the young people today don't have a foundation to come back to. You and I have a foundation. Even if we wandered far away from home, we had something to bring us back to. And that's the piece that's missing. That's the piece that's missing, that they don't have any way to get back home because no foundation was laid. And I think when you talk about purpose and service and all of these virtues, then young people and middle age, you know, and young adults, because there's young adults also trying to come back to society after they've been incarcerated. Again, sometimes these young people have had to go to be set down for 2 or 3 years so they can learn how to be in the silence. And I think that's a sad commentary. I don't think anybody should have to go to prison to learn how to be in the silence, but I think Nelson Mandela mastered being in the silence. You know, I mean, you know, being isolated on an island and having a lot of time to reflect actually, I'm sure, transformed his life. I'm not saying that you need that type of experience to transform your life, but being in the silence and having that reflective time is one of those ways to transform your life.
I definitely believe that silence is golden, because sometimes you need the silence. I just came back from the Pacific Ocean, and I loved the water, but it gave me peace. And I needed that peace and quietness so that I could think, like you say, you know, you don't have the distractions around you, the phone, the TV, or whatever. Just me out on the edge of the water, just looking out and thinking, reflecting.
Right. But I love the water, too. I really do. And especially this time of year, you get to see the storms coming in.
You like the storms?
I do. The other night when it was windy out, I went to the door, and I told it's a hurricane. I grew up in Florida, so I love the wind. I'm one of these weird people. I love the wind. And when it's windy, I tell it's a hurricane. It's a hurricane. I love the wind. So, yes, I love the wind. I mean, the wind can do destructive things, but also can bring you a nice breeze. So, I mean, and has anyone ever seen the wind? No, we just feel the wind. You know, I mean, there's a mystique about the wind. You know, you can see the fire. You can feel the fire. But all you do is that you can see the trees moving, but no one can actually say they see the wind. You see, and you either experience the wind or you see the leaves blowing. See? Yeah, and the water, you actually can see the water. You can feel the water, see the water, but the wind... has more of a mystique around it. So I just love the wind. And it reminds me of being a girl. So I love the wind because it makes me laugh and reminds me of being a girl. So I love the wind. I can't talk about the wind without laughing. I mean, I know it does destructive things too. I mean, there's another part of the wind, but it's only doing destructive things because man has built in the wind's way, you know. I mean, if the houses, if we weren't in the wind's way, then, you know, your fences wouldn't get blown down and the lights wouldn't go out. I mean, you know what I mean. So, and that's an esoteric thing, though.
Well, Ms. Harrison, yeah, to close, I'd like for you to say a few words again about purpose and why we're here, and also anything that you have coming up like this.
Okay, well, you know, the purpose, I believe truly that God created us for a purpose and that we have gifts to bring to the earth. I mean, we're all the Christ child. We're all called. We all got this gift. And if we as parents could put our children in the understanding that they are a gift to the world and that they came here to uplift, to be of service. And not to bring all the sorrow. I mean, they came for a good reason, and God made them for that reason. And then if we can help them understand that, and that they're so loved, that their gifts are needed. We need the gifts of all the young people who are out there sagging. You know, we need their gifts for all the young people who might even be thinking about picking up a gun because there's something else for them to do. So we need that. We need their gifts. Yes. And I hear your music, so I think that this is about time for me to say thank you so much for being on, for being interviewed on your show. I just had a great time. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, thank you.